This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Dropping the question. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Friday, July 12. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is ending his efforts to put a citizenship question on the 2020 census form. He says he has a separate plan to collect the data.
Federal agents will begin rounding up illegal immigrants on Sunday, an operation that will include detention and deportation.
Some residents of New Orleans are evacuating, trying to avoid the heavy rains of Tropical Storm Barry, which could become a hurricane.
And Amazon's plan to train 100,000 staffers, including those who'd like to become software engineers.
People go to college for these skills, and that's how Amazon says is approaching it. They want these. This is not just, you know, a course that you might take in a week. I mean, they want this to be something where you really kind of get up to speed so you could do the job of an entry-level engineer.
Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter on Amazon making $700 million available for training and retraining. His report in about 20 minutes. President Trump is giving up his mission to put a citizenship question on the 2020 census. His announcement comes after roughly 10 days of stops and starts about how the question could be included, following a Supreme Court ruling that effectively blocked the effort. Instead, Mr. Trump said he would sign an executive order requiring all federal agencies to provide the Commerce Department with all requested records on the number of citizens and non-citizens.
There used to be a time when you could answer questions like that very easily. There used to be a time when you could proudly declare, I am a citizen of the United States.
Mr. Trump said knowing the number of citizens, non-citizens, and illegal aliens in the U.S. was important for issues including immigration, health care, education, civil rights, and potentially the drawing of political districts. Critics said adding it would dissuade Hispanics and other minorities from responding, leading to an inaccurate population count. The Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency is planning to round up thousands of illegal immigrants across the country on Sunday. The Wall Street Journal says details of this weekend's operations remain unknown, but officials say the orders include detention and deportations. One of the officials said ICE has been ordered to go after people, quote, who received a final order of deportation from an immigration judge after they were released from custody. The enforcement is expected to last several days. Reaction from South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
Beginning to deport people who've gone through the process and lost their case, to me, is not cruel. It's reinforcing the rule of law. But I'd prefer not to go down to that route.
A White House official wouldn't confirm that the raids would take place, but said there are serious consequences for the, quote, 1 million people who have received final deportation orders but have remained in the U.S. illegally. Los Angeles, Chicago, Baltimore, and Miami are among the cities anticipating raids. Let's get more now with Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, Republican and chair of the Homeland Security Committee, which oversees Border Patrol. Senator, what needs to happen for our overwhelmed system?
Well, I certainly understand what we need to do to reduce the flow of people coming in as unaccompanied children and members of the family unit. We need to change that first hurdle rate on an asylum claim. We're not exactly sure how many really are valid asylum claims, but the current stats say it's maybe about 15%, and yet we let in probably over 90% of people just on that basic low hurdle rate on an asylum claim. And so what that does, because it's so overwhelmed our system, it just incentivizes more and more people to come in because they realize if you come in as an unaccompanied child or as a member of family, you get waved through customs and you're home free. And we simply don't have the court facilities to adjudicate these claims rapidly enough. And if we don't detain somebody, we only are able to remove about 7% of people that we don't detain. Yeah. And so that's just fueling the crisis. And as of the end of June, 9 months into this fiscal year, we're almost at 500,000 unaccompanied children, but people mainly coming as a family unit, illegally being apprehended versus 120,000 the entire year of 2014 when President Obama declared that a humanitarian crisis. So I think the good news is I haven't heard a Democrat say that this is a manufactured crisis in a couple of months. Right. The numbers are simply too overwhelming.
All right, but nothing seems to get done, though. This just seems to be no relief, and it's horrible story after horrible picture, and I know there's plenty of blame to go around, but I mean, how come we don't have a solution yet?
Well, because there is a political impasse on this. I don't want to be pointing fingers, but the fact of the matter is our Democrat colleagues aren't real interested in a solution. You see their presidential candidates literally advocating open borders and incentivizing people from Central America to come in because we'll give you free health care, too. Talk to working families who have seen their premiums double, triple, and quadruple on the individual market that we're going to give and offer free health care to people coming to this country illegally. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So we need to end those incentives. One of the things I'm working on with Democrat senators is something I'm calling Operation Safe Return, a program that would rapidly and more accurately determine those families that clearly don't have a valid asylum claim and safely return them home to Central America as a deterrent, as a consequence. Basically a message to human traffickers and people in Central America, don't mortgage your future to human traffickers. Don't mortgage your house. Don't give them a year's worth of salary or just indent yourself to these human traffickers because horrible things are going to happen to you. So that's hopefully one positive result we can get within the next couple of weeks, a letter of support to DHS for Operation Safe Return.
Speaking with Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin. He's also chair of the Homeland Security Committee. All right, what would you do? Put those folks on a plane or bus them back?
What you do is you squeeze out all the inefficiencies out of our adjudication process right there at the border, adjudicate their claim quickly, find out those that clearly don't have a valid asylum claim, and safely return them by plane to Central America. Working with those governments down there, there's nothing good for Central America of depopulating their countries. There was a study done in Guatemala that said a third of Guatemalans intend to migrate to the U.S. That'd be close to 6 million people. Jeez. That's not good for Guatemala. It's certainly not good for the U.S.
Could we adjudicate more quickly based on this $4-plus billion that's been approved to add judges to the system? Is that what could happen?
Well, unfortunately, that is money just trying to handle the humanitarian crisis, primarily going to HHS for more bed space for unaccompanied children, some to DHS to bolster the resources they have on the border. But again, Border Patrol is all about rapidly processing those people, turning them over to ICE and then over to HHS, or just, really what we're doing is dispersing people into America. We are in full catch and release, which again is further incentive for more people to come.
Hey, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, 14 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday. The weather forecast for the coast of Louisiana sounds like this. Dangerous storm surge, heavy rains, and wind conditions. The National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Barry could strengthen into a hurricane by tonight or early tomorrow. The storm, more than 100 miles southeast of Morgan City, Louisiana, is packing maximum sustained winds right now of 50 miles per hour. The National Weather Center says the storm could dump as much as 2 feet of rain in some areas. Governor John Bel Edwards.
This will be the first time that we've had a hurricane make landfall in Louisiana while the Mississippi River was at flood stage.
Meanwhile, a state of emergency has been declared and the National Guard activated. The storm system improvements made after Hurricane Katrina in 2005 will be tested. In low-lying areas south of New Orleans, some residents heeded the warnings to stock up, pack up, and in some parishes, evacuate. The preparations also include closing massive floodgates and tying down shrimp boats. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, just a week after insisting that he was absolutely moving forward, President Trump has abandoned his effort to insert a citizenship question into next year's census. He instead directed federal agencies to try to compile the information using existing databases.
I am hereby ordering every department and agency in the federal government to provide the Department of Commerce with all requested records regarding the number of citizens and non-citizens in our country.
Trump said he was not backing down, but the decision was clearly a reversal after the Supreme Court blocked his effort. by disputing his administration's rationale for demanding that census respondents declare whether or not they were citizens. The Trump administration has dropped a major piece of its plan to curb drug prices, the latest sign that central planks of President Trump's proposal are faltering amid legal challenges and feuds between the White House and government agencies. After the White House said the administration won't proceed with a proposal to curb industry rebates that drug makers give to middlemen in Medicare, healthcare stocks rallied on Wall Street, pushing the Dow Industrials up 228 to a record close. National Security's chief market strategist Art Hogan says United Healthcare was a big winner.
The Trump administration has decided to drop the effort to find transparency in drug prices, and that has helped some of the healthcare providers like UNH, which was good for about 100 of the 200 Dow points.
On Monday, a federal judge blocked a separate rule that required drug makers to put list prices in television ads. Already facing sexual abuse charges brought by Illinois prosecutors, singer R. Kelly was arrested in Chicago on a federal grand jury indictment listing 13 counts, including sex crimes and obstruction of justice. The R&B singer was taken into custody last night and is being held by federal authorities. When you think of the heavy metal band Metallica, you probably don't associate it with little kids, but the group is releasing a book about its history aimed at young readers. The ABCs of Metallica will feature rhymes and illustrations and will detail the history of the band.
That's great. Metallica.
I don't know if kids know Metallica, but
well,
whatever.
We got a preview of this like 3 years ago when Metallica was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and they played Enter Sandman with the children's instruments.
Right,
you
remember okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, maybe there's a little pattern here. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Supported by Kronos. Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place, so HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Amazon may have its critics, but they may have been silenced by an incredible announcement involving company staff. Amazon says it expects to train a third of its workforce as technology threatens to upend the many of its employees who do their jobs. Details from Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Chip, the numbers are staggering.
Yes, so Amazon is committing to spend $700 million to retrain a third of its workforce, that's 100,000 full-time workers by 2025, to help them either get more advanced skills, kind of more advanced jobs within the company, or to find new careers outside of it. All of this training is voluntary. Most of the programs are free to employees, but I think it's a real sign that Amazon feels its workforce needs new skills and wants to be, you know, kind of help them be available for different opportunities, you know, as these jobs do change.
Wow, it's an incredible amount of money they're spending. So this is full 100,000 full-timers, and you can perhaps train for a different part of the company if you'd like?
Yeah, so there's a couple different training programs here. So, for example, if you work in one of Amazon's corporate offices right now in a non-technical role, you can train to become a software engineer. Now, this could take years for some people, but you could shift, for example, say you are a buyer, you're working with Amazon's vendors to buy merchandise to feature on the site. You could go through this training and then become a software engineer. If you are an existing software engineer, you could take training from, in an area of like machine learning, kind of AI, an area that's certainly going to likely increase over the next couple of years. And then if you're in a fulfillment center, you're in an hourly role, they're rolling out a training program for you to become an IT support technician, so helping to troubleshoot and fix all the different machines that are in an Amazon warehouse.
If you do that type of training to become a software engineer, that's almost like a free college tuition if you don't have those skills, right?
That is. People go to college for these skills, and, right. and that's how Amazon says is approaching it. They want these. This is not just, you know, a course that you might take in a week. I mean, they want this to be something where you really kind of get up to speed, so you could do the job of an entry level engineer. And I think it's important to note that, you know, retraining programs aren't always successful. That, you know, not everyone has the aptitude to train for a new role, the capacity to transform themselves into something different. And I also think it's important to note that Amazon has come under, you know, pretty intense criticism over its treatment of workers in recent years, both from labor groups and lawmakers like Bernie Sanders, who said, you know, the company needs to significantly improve the working conditions at its warehouses.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter about his piece entitled "Amazon to Retrain a Third of Its Workforce." The numbers are staggering. The company's offering to spend $700 million to train up to 100,000 full-time workers. Is this a nature of the job market, by the way, or is this more a mission to keep their employees current?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, this is a moment of kind of historically low unemployment. So you have that with companies saying they're having a really difficult time finding workers with technical skills, and Amazon is certainly in that camp. But we're also at this moment of kind of a rapid digital transformation of roles, that even if the job itself doesn't go away, what you do in that job might change. So I think Amazon is responding to kind of all of those things and wanting to make sure that it's, this workforce can kind of keep evolving.
Thanks, Chip. Chip Cutter, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, July 12. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump drops efforts to put a citizenship question on the census. Agents plan to round up illegals on Sunday. A House committee today holds a hearing on detention centers. Tropical storm Barry threatens the coast of Louisiana. We'll have a live update in just a moment. The Dow closed above 27,000 for the first time. Sports OKC reportedly trading Russell Westbrook to Houston. Men's tennis semis at Wimbledon this morning, and how classmates celebrated a graduating student who's sensitive to cheering crowds. That story in about 20 minutes. The weather forecast for the coast of Louisiana: dangerous storm surge, heavy rains, wind conditions. The National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Barry could strengthen into a hurricane by tonight or early tomorrow. Let's get a feel for the mood ahead of the storm from Dave Cohen, news director at WWL in New Orleans, one of our affiliates for this program. He's with us live this morning. Dave, give us a feel for what's happening right now.
Well, we're seeing gusty winds blowing through. I'm watching the trees waving in the wind and street signs swaying back and forth as we see occasional gusts above 30, close to 40 miles an hour as these first of the bands kind of push on through. The good news for us right now is that Tropical Storm Barry remains somewhat disorganized in the Gulf of Mexico, and the heaviest of the rain isn't wrapping all the way around the center yet. But the National Hurricane Center is expecting that to happen, expecting Barry, whose top sustained winds are now 50 miles an hour with higher gusts, to continue to get better organized, strengthen, and come ashore in less than 24 hours. The real threat, they say, from this is extremely heavy rain, with widespread areas of Louisiana and Mississippi getting 15 to 20 inches, according to the Hurricane Center, and some areas getting up to 25 inches of rain.
That's insane. How does this compare to what were the last problems in 2016?
You know, we haven't had a major hurricane, thank goodness, in a long time. You know, a lot of people are calling us from around the world and across the country saying, how does this compare to Katrina? Obviously, Katrina was a major hurricane that included a massive wall of water, an incredible storm surge, and levee-busting capabilities that flooded 80% of New Orleans. This is nowhere near anything like that. This is a threat that we face of heavy rain. The problem with that for the Louisiana coast and specifically for New Orleans is that New Orleans is below sea level, yeah, a bowl surrounded by levees, and it takes a pump to get any water out of the city after a rainfall. If we get 25 inches of rain, New Orleans is going to be looking at widespread, sustained street flooding for several days. We had 8 inches of rain on Wednesday, and that flooded streets for 4, 5, or 6 hours and saw cars, homes, and businesses going underwater.
Right. We're speaking with Dave Cohen. He's the news director at WWL in New Orleans, one of our affiliates, talking about the Tropical Storm Barry implications here. What are the radio station plans, by the way?
Well, we're going to stay on the air around the clock from now all the way through the landfall and the aftermath, which we're expecting again over the next 24 hours. The heaviest of the rain is expected to move in tonight and last all day through the day on Saturday as we see landfall. And then by Sunday, as what's left of Barry, probably as a depression or a remnant low, will be moving out of Louisiana and into Arkansas and then bringing extremely heavy rain to the nation's midsection.
Geographically, is the station located in a low-lying spot, or is it okay for these things?
We're in downtown New Orleans, just a few blocks from the river, so one of the highest spots there is in the city below sea level. We're also up on the 8th floor, so we feel confident we'll be able to maintain our operations, continue to broadcast as we see how much water we get in the street. And, you know, we'll do what we have to do to continue to broadcast and get around, but this is a situation where people here are getting ready to hunker down, and so will we be. You know, everyone's got 2-3 days of food, water, and supplies on hand. We're expecting to see widespread street flooding, hoping we don't, anticipating widespread power outages that could last for several days. And I think that's what people are getting ready for and anticipating, but hoping that as we're now looking at it, started the turn. Tropical Storm Barry has started the turn towards the Louisiana coast, and they're expecting it to come in somewhere around 1 a.m. tomorrow morning, so late tonight into tomorrow, somewhere just south of Lafayette, Louisiana. That's off to our west, so we won't get the worst of the winds and the surge in the greater New Orleans area. But the Hurricane Center says the rain is going to be the real issue.
All right, so some good news, I guess, right? Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Good talking to you. Dave Cohen, news director at WWL in New Orleans, preparing for Tropical Storm Barry to come ashore, possibly as a hurricane, as he said, maybe late tonight or early tomorrow morning. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know that national brands are careful about trying to be as inclusive as they can be when marketing their products, but few things can send people into a tizzy faster than messed up geography. For example, Mountain Dew is getting a bit of a geography lesson this week from the Midwest after releasing an ad that featured Michigan's Upper Peninsula as being part of Wisconsin.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The soft drink started a patriotic campaign marketing bottles for United States, featuring a map of the nation with each state sporting a different color pattern. The fun design, however, sparked anger in the northern states after the upper peninsula of Michigan was colored with the same green and white outline as Wisconsin instead of the red and black as the rest of Michigan. Social media backlash was swift and forceful. A Twitter account called the Upper Peninsula tweeted, "Dear Mountain Dew, I am not Wisconsin. Fix this or send a free case to all my residents. Your call." Mountain Dew responded by tweeting out an apology, promising to fix the error. The brand even asked the Upper Peninsula to tell them all of the things you love about your region as part of the new special edition label. So they responded, so that's good.
It's evidence we don't teach geography in school anymore. Is that what's happening here?
Yeah,
to a certain extent?
I would say so, at least not at the graphic design department over there at Mountain Dew.
UP has just a great reputation, but it's not something that many of us from New Jersey are familiar with, but it would be on my list of places I would like to vacation. Just heard great. It's got a great reputation.
Yes, it does. And that police will find when they pull someone over, but this had to be unusual, even for seasoned law enforcement officers. Police pulled over a man named Stephen Jennings in Guthrie, Oklahoma in June after an officer noticed his tags were expired, and when they searched his car, they got a lot more than they bargained for. There was a gun in the car for starters, but that's not that unusual. They also found out the car was stolen and contained an open bottle of Kentucky Deluxe whiskey, a rattlesnake, and a canister of radioactive powdered uranium.
What?
That's right, uranium. Jennings is charged with possession of a stolen vehicle, transporting an open container of liquor, operating a motor vehicle with a suspended license, and failure to carry a security verification form. The uranium and the rattlesnake, though unusual, didn't get Jennings slapped with any additional charges as of yet. Mm. And I'm guessing because they've never found uranium in a car before.
Yeah.
They didn't know exactly what to do. There's probably nothing on the books about possession of uranium and sort of what to do in that situation, at least for local law enforcement.
The list of issues going on in that story is quite remarkable, though.
Yes.
But it's a stolen car.
Stolen car to start with, yes.
He didn't have a license.
Right.
He's got a gun.
Tags on the car were expired, of course,
tags
which
expired.
Is what got them pulled over in the first place. And there's the rattlesnake, yeah.
Open booze bottle.
Yes, open booze bottle.
A rattlesnake.
And the rattlesnake was the least of their worries, because actually the rattlesnake was in a, you know, in a carrier.
Oh,
and
okay.
Not like out, you know, slithering around the car or anything. So that was kind of the least of all the problems here, was the rattlesnake in the car.
That's unbelievable. And how would you, I guess the uranium was labeled in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know how to identify it.
Yeah.
There's some powder in a container in a car, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine you'd look at that and say, oh, look, uranium.
Yeah.
Look, we found uranium again this week,
right.
Guys.
It's got that yellow and black marker on it, like
right.
Hazmat or contamination
right.
potential,
right.
Whatever.
I imagine they probably stood pretty far away and let the professionals come in.
That's insane. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Black Friday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusiness.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for joining us. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. It's not your imagination. Avocados are more expensive these days, but no, tariffs are not to blame. USA Today has an explanation. It says for the first week of July, the wholesale prices of mid-sized avocados from Mexico were 129% higher than this time last year. David Magana, Vice President and Senior Analyst at Rabobank, based in Fresno, California, says it's the highest price for this time of the year in at least a decade. He says the wholesale price was $84.25 for a 25-pound box compared to $37 the same week last year. Why are prices up? Three main reasons, he says. Number one, expanding global demands, including in the U.S., he said avocados are consumed year-round now, not just on occasions. Number two, California's avocado season is coming to an end and was the smallest crop in more than a decade. And number three, seasonal production in Mexico, with now being the lowest time of the year. Mexico, by the way, is the top supplier of fruits and veggies to the U.S., with almost 90% of our avocados from Mexico. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Tropical Storm Barry's winds and rain are lashing Louisiana as New Orleans and coastal communities brace for a drenching from what's expected to be the first hurricane of the season. A hurricane warning is in effect along the Louisiana coast, and forecasters say the storm could make landfall as a hurricane by early Saturday. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards.
Rainfall totals of 10 to 15 inches are possible, and with locally higher amounts expected in some areas on an isolated basis.
The storm's rains are expected to pose a severe test of New Orleans' improved post-Katrina flood system. The Trump administration is moving forward with a nationwide immigration enforcement operation targeting migrant families, despite loud opposition from Democrats and questions over whether it's the best use of resources given the crisis at the border. The operation could happen as soon as this weekend after being postponed by President Trump late last month. Dozens of people were violently slammed off the ceiling of a jetliner that encountered unexpected and intense turbulence over the Pacific Ocean yesterday. An Air Canada flight to Australia made an emergency emergency landing in Honolulu after 37 people were injured, 9 seriously, during the sudden loss of altitude that sent people flying into the luggage compartments and aisles of the airplane. Air Canada says the flight from Vancouver to Sydney encountered unforecasted and sudden turbulence about 2 hours past Hawaii when the plane diverted to Honolulu. Serena Williams and Simona Halep will face off tomorrow with the Wimbledon trophy on the line. Williams will be aiming for her 24th Grand Slam singles title, which would tie Margaret Court for the all-time record.
It's really not about 24 or 23 or 25. It's really just about going out there and giving my best effort no matter what. And no matter what I do, I will always have a great career.
Williams holds a 9-1 advantage over Halep, including winning their lone meeting at Wimbledon, but that was 8 years ago, and both players were dominant in their semifinal victories. The men's semis are today with a hugely anticipated match between Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer, and then Novak Djokovic versus Roberto Bautista Agut.
So Serena Williams could win her 24th Grand Slam, and then a couple of months later, file for Medicare, right? I mean, she's been around that long.
Yes, she has.
Stunning what she's done. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Silence was golden at a high school graduation in New York last week as classmates gave a student with autism and noise sensitivity a silent ovation. Students barely touched their palms together in quiet claps for their classmate Jack Higgins, who held his fingers to his ears as he walked on stage to accept his diploma from Carmel High School in Putnam County. He'd been anticipating raucous cheers. Instead, his classmates stood quietly and allowed him to enjoy his moment. Lou Riolo, principal of the high school, told Fox News that originally the boy's parents requested their son take part alongside his special ed teacher, Erin Appel, but she brought up the fact that Jack is hypersensitive to loud sounds and crowds. So educators awarded his diploma right after the national anthem, so he wouldn't have to sit through the rest of the graduation commotion. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.